Now to a story that challenges some common advice about dieting. In recent years, nutrition scientists have been rethinking fat. Many have concluded it's not the enemy we've been led to believe it is, not for our hearts, not for our waistlines. NPR's Allison Aubrey tells us about a new study that adds to the evidence.
Lots of people, including me, once assumed that if you ate fatty foods, say avocados, nuts, full-fat dairy, or oily salad dressings, that you'd get fat.
We've been told for decades that if you don't want fat on your body, don't put fat into your body. It's a very appealing notion. The problem is, it's wrong.
That's David Ludwig of Harvard Medical School and Boston Children's Hospital. Back in 2012, he published a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, which was one nail in the coffin for the low-fat diet paradigm. His study showed that when people add in lots of healthy fats to their diets and take out refined carbohydrates, such as bagels and crackers, which had become staples of low-fat eating, they did better, including on measures of heart health.
We saw improvements in HDL cholesterol and the possibility of lowered chronic inflammation.
And there was another advantage. The higher fat, lower carb approach seemed to rev up people's metabolism. Ludwig found that those who stopped eating so much starch burned off about 150 more calories a day compared to people eating a high carb, lower fat diet.
Too much refined carbohydrates, white bread, white rice, potato products, all those foods that have crept into our diets as we've followed the low fat craze, has undermined our metabolism and caused us to become hungrier and, ironically, burn off fewer calories.
What's thought to happen in the body is this. Too many refined carbs send a signal to the body to release a lot of insulin. That extra insulin locks up calories inside fat cells where they cannot be used for energy.
So that's a recipe for both increased hunger, but also feelings of fatigue and tiredness. It's a double whammy for weight gain.
So this brings us to a new study published today. Researchers at Tulane University tracked what happened over a one-year-long period when overweight men and women, a diverse mix including African Americans and Caucasians, followed a low-carb approach. Study leader Lydia Bazzano says once you swap out bready carbs, what you're swapping in is more protein and more fat. So what kinds of meals were they eating?
Typically in the morning, they were eating eggs. We had a lot of recipes with eggs in them.
And for lunch and dinner, the low-carb dieters were directed to eat lots of vegetables, salads, proteins, including fish and meat, prepared with generous portions of healthy fats.
Olive oils, canola oils, vegetable oils.
As well as small amounts of butter and other animal fat. In total, fat made up a sizable portion of their overall calories, in the range of 40 to 43%. Now, Bazzano says many people might say, this doesn't sound like a weight loss diet with all the fat.
It's not the general perception.
Yet, when she tracked how much weight the low-carb dieters lost over 1 year, it averaged about 12 pounds. This compared to only about 4 pounds of weight loss for those following a low-fat diet, even though the two groups were eating about the same number of calories.
It's more than double, yes. So this was, yes, surprising.
And it offers more evidence that when it comes to right-sizing our waistlines, it's refined carbs, more so than fat, that many Americans could cut back on. Allison Aubrey, NPR News.
This is a story about the salmon cannon. Yes, you did hear me correctly, salmon cannon. And better than me trying to explain what it is and how it works, we've called up one of the inventors, Vince Bryan. He is the CEO of Whoosh Innovations, and he's in Bellevue, Washington. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
First off, I should say this is a serious invention for a serious problem. The numbers of wild salmon species have plummeted. In many places, dams block salmon migrating to their spawning grounds. Fish ladders are expensive and often don't work. Where there are not ladders, fish have to be trucked or even helicoptered over the dams. But Vince Bryan, you came up with a different way to move fish. Can you explain what the salmon cannon is?
The salmon cannon is really a device that we have created to move objects gently. And it works by a pressure differential. And so it's a misnomer in that respect. It looks a little bit like a cannon, but the fish do move very quickly, and they come out of the end back into the water as if they were shot out of the end of a cannon.
What I don't understand is why you think that these fish are fine after they come out the end of it. I mean, they come flying out.
In reality, from the very beginning of the test, that was a concern. Can the fish be out of water? Although it may be just 10 seconds to go as much as 250 feet, but the fish handled that very well. And so there seems to be no effect. The fish enter into the water and swim away.
Now, as I understand it, you invented this technology for fruit, apples and pears.
Correct. The initial problem that we were trying to solve was how do we allow for picking of a piece of fruit such that the picker isn't wasting so much time going up and down the ladders, and that's what's ultimately led us to the salmon cannon.
So are there any other things that you have moved through the tube?
You know, we've been asked to put a number of things through, but one of the more fun ones that we did was we were asked to put potatoes through the tube, and at the end of the tube, they delivered to us a French fry cutter. And and so the potatoes went through the tube, and as a whole potato, when they came out the other side, they were French fries.
Is it conceivable that you could move people in tubes like this?
Yes, is the answer to that. And we've had a lot of volunteers along the way as we've been doing our testing. We haven't produced a tube that large yet. There's really no limit as to what we can move.
I can think of a lot of problems of moving people in tubes, you know, things like high-heeled shoes or handbags or luggage or whatnot.
You're getting awfully big. in theory, it would all work. The biggest concern from our perspective in moving a person is just what is the method of slowing that person down. It's not going to be moving them. It's going to be gently landing them.
Vincent Bryan is the CEO of Whoosh. This weekend, the salmon cannon, which was bought by the Washington State Department of Fish and Wildlife, goes operational. It'll be on a tributary of the Columbia River. Mr. Bryan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
A bit of remodeling and rebranding is going on in Kansas City. The award-winning barbecue joint Oklahoma Joe's is changing its name. After 17 years in business in Kansas City, Jeff and Joy Staney say it's time to claim the name of the town where they actually live. Their first Kansas City restaurant was in a defunct Shamrock gas station. Remember those? With a four-leaf clover sign out front and a bright green roof. They never changed it. So put your greasy hands together for Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Only a few barbecue places in Kansas City are known by their first name, notably the wonderful Arthur Bryant's and Joe's.
All right, last week on this program, we heard several stories about breakfast. Programming for ourselves, I suppose. We heard how cereal makers are in some trouble because many people do not think they have time in their mornings to prepare a bowl of cereal, which led David to tell us about your breakfast.
I did, because each morning when you and I are here getting ready for the show, mm-hmm. I find 4 minutes or so to make egg whites and cheese. It's kind of like a mini omelet in a mug.
In a mug, which, if I recall, is your area of expertise.
One of them. I hope one of them, sort of. I mean, I was already doing this with eggs, and then last February we brought the Washington Post food editor Joe Yonan into the studio for a deep dive in microwave mug cooking. We thought Labor Day might be a good time to air this piece again. We kind of call it an ode to low labor cooking.
So, Joe, thanks for coming by and doing this with us.
Sure.
Can I tell you why we called you here, how this all got started?
Yes, I'm curious.
Okay, it's a little embarrassing. So I've been making scrambled eggs in a mug in the morning. I get here really early. Mm-hmm. It's like the middle of the night, and I wanted some eggs. And one of our colleagues said, you know, you can scramble eggs in the microwave. And I've been enamored by this. So I just literally, I'm cracking it on our conference table, put it in the mug. And then I add a little bit of shredded cheese, a little bit of milk, and I kind of whip it up. I just pop it in the microwave.
All right.
All right, so I'm yanking this thing out. I mean, check that out.
Oh, my God.
Joe, just describe that.
Wow, okay. Uh-huh. It, like, totally puffed up, and it looks absolutely beautiful.
Is this the first time you've seen this?
Actually, it is.
See that?
It's like the shape of a cupcake. Yeah.
Egg souffle. You want
to
taste?
Yeah, I do.
Here.
Ooh, it's really, really, really hot.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do this very carefully, because it's nuclear. Yeah, it's not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
So, nuclear... Do things get dangerously hot in a microwave?
They do. They
Why?
Get really, really hot because it's more than just getting heat from the surface that they're in contact with, like a pan, like uh-huh. they would on the stove. They're heating from the inside out, basically. Like, all their molecules are all excited, and the whole thing is kind of exploding inside. So you have to be careful, too. I mean, it's a good thing you used a big mug, because I think if you did a small mug, I could imagine some accidents happening. Foaming over the top, that kind of thing.
We don't want that. All right, so you brought us some suggestions, because we wanted to expand
right.
our menu of office cooking.
You know, I was thinking about this mug thing. The mug gauntlet was laid down in front of me,
right.
and so I picked it up and decided to do a mac and cheese.
Oh, cool. This is going to be lunch for me for the next, like, 3 weeks. That's awesome.
Yeah, so with the mac and cheese, it's a half a cup of dry macaroni pasta.
You're just pouring them in the mug there.
Just getting it right in the mug.
Okay.
And equal amounts of water, you know, and then we're going to nuke that.
Okay.
I don't know if we can see in here, but it's boiling over a little bit, yeah.
You're going to ruin our microwave,
okay.
Joe?
No. Worst things have happened in this microwave,
You can tell, sort of?
I would guess. So now I'm going to just add a little stuff to make a little sauce.
Okay.
Basically... few tablespoons of milk.
Pouring in some milk, all right.
Got a quarter cup of grated sharp cheddar cheese.
Perfect.
And we've got dried mushrooms. So you just take a couple of the stems and you just crumble them up.
What else are you putting in here?
That's a couple tablespoons of salsa. And now, and I know this sounds kind of crazy, but I've got a teaspoon of flour.
Oh.
And the reason that I think that you have flour in your office pantry is because you're also going to make the brownie in a mug that's happening after this, and that also calls for flour.
Nice, versatile.
So this, I would say, maybe let's try 30 seconds and see.
Okay. So is this healthier than like the boxes of macaroni and cheese that you buy at the grocery store would have the powdered cheese?
Oh yeah, because who knows? Well, I haven't looked at that label in quite a while, but. I bet you there's stuff on there that you wouldn't recognize.
That powdered cheese can't be good.
Right.
Okay, and this is the real stuff. So
this is like cheese.
We got macaroni and cheese
so
here. Wow.
See, now
look
this
at
is.
That.
It's actually kind of gorgeous.
It's kind of gorgeous. Can I take a taste?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. When I was experimenting with this, I had already eaten a big breakfast, and I was playing around with this, and I ate the whole thing. I was like, wow,
mm-hmm.
It's pretty good.
Not bad.
So that's macaroni and cheese in a mug.
And now dessert.
All right, so dessert.
So we got another mug.
We're going to do a tablespoon of butter. This is you're going to think I've gone off the rails again. This is a tablespoon of almond butter, and
mm-hmm.
then a little vanilla,
mm-hmm.
and a little milk. This is going to go in to melt the butter. I think the key, as in a lot of cooking, look at it. See what's happening. So
if something
go for,
is spilling, if something
right.
is exploding, if something is burning,
right, burning.
Probably a bad thing.
Probably a bad thing. Stop.
Okay.
And then we're putting in a couple tablespoons of flour.
Which we had from the mac and cheese
recipe. A little sugar.
Okay.
This is the cocoa, unsweetened cocoa.
Okay.
And there's a little bit of instant espresso in there, too.
That you ground up perfectly?
No, it's instant. You can find it in an Italian market. Well, actually, a lot of stores.
You just throw a little bit of that in there, too?
And it kind of makes the chocolate even deeper. So I just stir it up with my fork. So we're going to do a minute. If you wanted other shortcuts, another thing I'm realizing is you could do like a trail mix.
That would add kind of a nutty,
like a little chewy,
nutty,
in
chewy
there,
thing going on
in there. And people tend to have that kind of stuff around.
Totally.
You know what you could do? You could take a granola bar and crush it up and put it in the bottom of the mug.
And have a crust on the bottom?
And you might be able to get a crust.
I'm liking this.
All right.
Do we have a brownie?
I think we got a brownie. I'm just going to put the almond slivers on top. Yeah, try that.
Okay. Oh, it's totally a brownie.
It's like a fudgy brownie.
It's
not a fudgy brownie,
but it's a, yeah, I mean, it's, oh my God, it's fantastic.
It's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, that was just delicious. Seriously, if I ate this dessert in a restaurant, it would be one of those desserts where I would send me, right. Oh, it's so
right.
good.
Right. Right, it's chocolate.
Joe, thank you for coming by. Microwave
sure.
cooking with Joe Yeoman.
Oh my
we really
God.
Appreciate it.
I don't want a bad rap.